This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Chances are you've spotted a lot more butterflies in your life than moths, right? It might be because we humans are awake during the day, like most butterflies. And who doesn't love a colorful butterfly fluttering around the flower bed? Well, you know, you can't say the same for that powdery, drab-colored moth flying crazily out of the broom closet or circling the light bulb at night, can you? But hey, give moths a chance, because moths are much more diverse than butterflies. Did you know, for example, that moth species outnumber butterflies 15 to 1? Take that, butterflies. And today, in honor of our National Moth Week, we're celebrating those lepidopterans with a taste for nightlife, the moths. Elena Targalia is a co-founder of National Moth Week and an ecologist at Bergen Community College in Paramus. I got her name wrong, of course. Tartaglia, thank you very much for being with us today, Elena. We have some great moth pics on our site at sciencefriday.com/moths. My New York is getting in the way for me on that one. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Why Moth Week? Moths don't get enough respect, do they?
No, they're really underappreciated. And so the mission of National Moth Week, we have sort of two goals. And the first is just what you said, to bring some recognition to a really underappreciated taxon. Mm-hmm. And the second is to get citizens involved in science. So it's actually a citizen science project, and we collect data from these events all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I was surprised to learn in doing the research for this is that there was really very little difference between a moth and a butterfly, right?
Yeah. So evolutionarily speaking, a butterfly is just a moth that comes out during the day.
That's it.
Yeah, as we like to say. So moths actually evolved first, and then butterflies branched off later.
Hmm. Moths are actually more diverse than butterflies?
Yeah, just like what you said, with taxonomy, it always depends on who you ask, but there is between 10 and 15 to 1 species moths to butterflies. So in the world, there's probably about 160,000 species of moths.
How many?
160,000.
160,000?
Yeah, and again, it depends on who you ask. That's maybe a conservative estimate even.
Wow. So then butterflies are like just freakish evolutionary offshoots of the main moth branch.
Sure, but you know, butterflies are great too.
Well, you don't want a bad mouth butterfly.
No, of course not.
No. Tell us how you actually find moths. How do you attract moths? If I want to attract moths, what do I do?
Sure, that's a great question. There's a couple of ways to do it. And one of the things that everybody knows about moths is that they're attracted to lights.
Right.
And so finding moths can be as simple as just turning on your porch light at night. Or we entomologists tend to use these big 175 or 250-watt mercury vapor black lights, which are a full-spectrum bulb, which are supposed to attract the most species of moths. So we set up these lights at night, and then we have a sheet set up behind it, and the moths fly to lights. And then their brain sort of registers it as daytime once they get in these bright lights. And then they'll hang on a sheet to rest. And then the other way you can attract moths is with bait. And so mothers will often mix up a combination of beer, old fruit, and either molasses or brown sugar, and you can paint it on trees and get moths to fly in to try to taste the bait.
Huh. Now you and other organizers declared this as the year of silk moths. What's so special?
Sure. Silk moths are in the family Saturniidae, and they're really cool for a variety of reasons. Well, they're the biggest moths in the world and also the biggest moths that we have in the United States. And they're also the most colorful, so they tend to attract a lot of attention. And silk moths are industrially important as well. They are where we get silk from when their caterpillars spin a silk cocoon. And silk moths actually... My favorite fact about them is that they take in all their nutrition as caterpillars, and they don't even have mouths as adults.
Is that right?
That's true. And so they feed as caterpillars, and as adults, their whole entire purpose is to find a mate.
Wow. And then it's all over because they're not eating.
And then it's all over, yeah. And so they're really ephemeral. They can only live for a couple of weeks. So it's a really special event to find a silk moth.
Now, National Moth Week has a moth mascot, a moth cot, so to speak. Name that moth cot for us?
That's Otomeris Io, the Io moth. And we chose it for a couple of reasons. It's fairly common in New Jersey, where National Moth Week got started, and it's a really striking moth. It has yellow forewings that cover hind wings that have eye spots that are an anti-predator defense. So you can see it in my case right
beautiful.
Here.
Beautiful. Okay. Yeah. So when its wings are normally closed, mm-hmm. but when it gets fearful, it does what? It opens the wings
it
up?
It opens up its forewings, and it exposes those eye spots.
And other animals think it's a what, then?
Well, you know, we're not sure. You'll never know what an animal is thinking, but I think it sort of looks like an owl's face, and an owl is a predatory bird.
Oh,
so
okay.
if a bird tries to take an eye moth and it gets hit with those eye spots, it might think an owl's there.
Huh, good thinking. Some moths have these big feathery antennae. Mm-hmm. What do they use them for?
So those are going to be the males of certain families only, and they use them to detect the pheromones of females, and they can actually detect pheromones from up to 2 miles away in some species, and so they're just a way to find a mate.
Hmm. Now, we know that moths, like, eat your sweater. How do they do that?
So that's just one group. Mainly, it's the species Tiniola biselliella. All right. And the caterpillars actually are the pests, and they'll eat your sweaters and other natural fibers. But as adults, the moths are like the silk moths in that they don't feed at all. And, you know, it's really easy to get rid of them. You can have your clothes dry cleaned, or you can even pop them in the freezer if you think you have an infestation.
So the eggs are laid in the wool of your sweater?
Yeah.
And that they hatch, and then the caterpillars eat your sweater?
They feed on natural fibers, yep.
And natural fibers, that means out in the wild, the eggs would be laid on animal clothing, wool or something
sure,
like that?
Sure, wool or cotton or, you know, anything. And I think that they can eat, some of them can actually eat grains as well, some species in that family.
Hmm. Would they eat silk?
Would they eat silk? I'm not sure of that. They might.
So how sensitive are these giant antennae? How far away and how...
Well, I think I just mentioned that they can detect pheromones. I think the farthest range is about 2 miles away.
Wow, that is pretty
distant. Yeah.
So if you want to celebrate National Moth Month, what should Americans be doing then? What should we go out to be patriotic National Moth Month celebrate?
Sure. So for Moth Week, you can do a variety of things. You can hosting an event can be really as simple as just sitting in your backyard with your extra beer from your moth bait and turning on your
now
porch
you're
light.
Talking.
Yeah, exactly. And turning on your porch light, or you know, sitting with your mercury vapor light. Or there's events all over the United States and even all over the world at nature centers that you can participate in community mothing.
Mm-hmm.
So really anything that you want to do, from very low key to organizing event or attending an event at your local nature center. And you can find our map on our website, nationalmothweek.org, to find an event near where you live.
It's so fascinating. In fact, I understand that not all moths dine on nectar or sap. Mm-hmm. They eat some wild stuff.
Sure. There's a couple that feed on the tears of birds. And
get out.
Well, there's
tears
one.
Tears of birds?
Sure. That's a Madagascar species. It's actually Hemiceratoides hieroglyphica. And then there's a couple that live elsewhere in the world that feed on the tears of deer or crocodiles. And so they're tear-feeding moths. And then there's one species in particular that's recently been observed to be feeding on decaying human bodies. And that's Aglossa cuprina.
Wow. If you needed any reason to celebrate National Moth Week.
There's one.
There are three of them right there. And as far as catching the moths, get a net? Is that how you do it?
Sure. Well, you can use a net, or if you're using a light with a sheet or even a wall set up, when the moths fly to the light and they perch, they often go into a sleepy state.
Oh.
And either they cool down or they're just sleeping, and they become pretty docile that way. And so you can actually pull them off the sheet and handle them and photograph them if you're so inclined.
And release them. Your favorite moth?
Gosh, that's such a good question. I have a lot of favorite moths because I did my dissertation on moths. I to borrow a phrase, my favorite moth is probably the one I'm looking at that moment.
Oh, that's so cop-out.
My dissertation work was on a species of day-flying moth. It's actually a genus called Hemeris, and there are three species in New Jersey that you can actually see during the day, and they're mimics of hummingbirds and bumblebees. So they're really cool looking, and I encourage everyone to get out and look at them. They're having a good year this year.
So you got to get a movement going to get a state moth. Every state should have a state park, right? get it going. Thank you very much, Elena, for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks, Ira.
Elena Tartaglia is a co-founder of National Moth Week and ecologist at Bergen Community College in good old Paramus, New Jersey.